Welcome everyone to Know Thy Brand podcast, the branding podcast for women in business. Welcome everybody to Know Thy Brand podcast, a podcast that tackles gender inequality through the brand lens. From brand strategies to marketing tactics, from female leadership to female entrepreneurship, from corporate brand to personal brand, every episode is designed to inspire you and to support you in a journey for success, whatever success means to you. Welcome everyone to this episode on video and podcast. Today, I decided to create this episode because something has happened, and I hope that my mistake will help entrepreneurs, and particularly social entrepreneurs, to avoid them. So I'm going to share with you three mistakes I made and three lessons that I've learned, okay? The first one, it's the easiest mistake to fix. So here it goes. Every time you do a project, make sure that you ask for a down payment. I learned a lesson back when I was working with my traditional company, but somehow when I started Know Thy Brand Women and I transformed my Know Thy Brand into a social enterprise, I forgot what I learned, or better still, I didn't forget it. What happened is that I decided that Know Thy Brand was going to help women entrepreneurs and women in career. And I wanted to make sure that every member had access to the same level of support, no matter their personal and financial situation. So I decided that we would offer a flexible solution, flexible financial solution. And here is where I made the mistake, though. So this very second client that I was introduced to needed to rebrand and reposition their company. This is a female entrepreneur. She's been around 4 years. Unfortunately, COVID kicks in and affects her business. So she very clearly said that she needed to work on her positioning, and that she didn't have any money at that point, but that in a couple of months' time, she was supposed to receive a new stock of products and she would have been able to pay. Of course, I said, no problem. We sign a contract. I do the job today. I help you get back in track. And then you pay me. You see, it didn't go that way. The person didn't pay me, and we still wait to see if she's gonna fulfill her payment. I'm lucky because I have a board of directors, and my directors have taken the lead in chasing the payment. It's not a nice thing to do. I would know that I would really, really struggle if it was left to me to do that. And that's, I think, is the problem, especially as social entrepreneurs. There is this thing when it comes to, you know, money, when it comes to sales, when it comes to everything that has to do with the financial part, that it seems like almost a dirty word. We don't want to talk about that because ultimately we are here to help people. That's why we created a social enterprise. But that's wrong because you see, if I don't get paid, because I committed to reinvest the profit I make into the company, if I don't get paid, it's not just me that I don't receive any remuneration, but it's the women that I set to help that won't have access to my services because I don't have money to pay and to cover the cost for what they need. So as social entrepreneurs, as much as we want to be nice and kind and, you know, understanding, we need to remember to be really focused on what we want to achieve. And so we need to be realistic when it comes to money. And in fact, I actually suggest that you listen to a fantastic podcast by Katla Koch. I'm going to put the link into the notes of this podcast, because she is specialized in social entrepreneurship, and she really helps a social entrepreneur to understand how to make sales without feeling bad about it. Actually, understanding the importance of talking about money in a professional way, as if you are traditional companies, because it's only by making a profit that we can really have the impact that we set us to do. So this is valid for everybody. Get a down payment first. Get a down payment, because that makes the client more responsible and more accountable for what he's going to do. It's so easy to say, yes, I'll pay you. And then, oh, actually, nah, and trust me, it's not even someone say, well, but this woman really maybe didn't have the opportunity to pay you. That's not the case, because she's posting everything online or where she is at the moment. And she's actually doing very well thanks to the connection I gave her in another country. And you could say, okay, maybe she wasn't happy with your services. But actually, that's not true either, because she sent me a lot of lovely emails saying how much she enjoyed working with me and what a great job I've done for her. So it's just a question of, I think, her not realizing that not paying me is not just not paying a big organization. Someone that, you know, if you don't get that money, oh, you get it later, you'll be fine. No, it's actually impacting me directly, of course, because I'm a tiny organization, and it's impacting the women that I could have otherwise helped. So that's mistake number one. Don't trust people just because they say they're going to pay. They might not pay you afterwards. So at least get the down payment. Now, the other two are a bit more complicated. The second mistake I made was to give too much information about the program that I was going to deliver to a prospective client. Again, I think the problem was that it was a very big project, and it was more expensive than what I would normally charge, but that is because of the, you know, the size of this project. And so I really wanted to explain to the client all the things I was going to do, it step by step, exactly what I was going to do for her. And I actually offered a discount anyway. So, you know, I thought I did it all. And I was convinced that that was a winning project. I invested so much time with me and my team to find the perfect solution for this small business owner, because we wanted to be part of her story. We wanted to give the support that she needs. And so hours of meetings, hours understanding her needs and what we could do, only to be told, thank you, but not. That's okay. I mean, you don't have to win all the pitches. It just turned out that she took our strategy and gave it to someone cheaper to implement. That was very silly. Or me. And that was my fault. I shouldn't have doubted myself and present all of those details. I should just have said, okay, we discussed what your needs are. This is how much it's going to cost. And then if she had to ask questions, fine. But again, I think it goes down to the fact that when we talk about money as a social enterprise, you don't want to come across as someone that is greedy or anything. I was just like, you know, there is so much work that is going to go into your project. And so I just gave away too much. Now, this is a tricky one, because other businesses tell me that they have the same problem, and it's not just social enterprises, it's businesses at any level or any sizes. When it comes to close a deal, when it comes to do sales, it's difficult because you need to demonstrate to the prospect what is the benefit you're going to bring to them. But at the same time, you don't want to give so much away that they can take it and find a cheaper supplier. Unfortunately, it happens all the time. So it's difficult. It's a difficult balance. But what I taken from this exercise is that I will be more, at least at the beginning, I will be more, I won't be as detailed in my proposal. I will just be more general and just explain kind of ish what we're going to do. And then if the clients wants more information, if they push back, then that's where you need to take a leap of faith and deliver. But just put it like this on a silver plate, again, I think it's been mostly my mistake. I should have been more careful. I should have been more more as a, you know, a traditional enterprise. Just because I'm a social enterprise, it doesn't need to mean that I have to give away knowledge like this so that someone else can take it. So that's my second mistake. And so the suggestion is be a bit more generic when you make it your proposal and be less, just be street smart if you want. I think that's the expression, is to be a bit more street smart and to really remember that your time is precious as much as the time of your team or the people who work with you, and that you should make sure that you understand the client's needs, that you prepare a proposal that responds to those needs, but that you don't give a much too much away, because not everybody's like you, and people might just say, you know, that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to find someone cheaper. Which brings me to the third mistake, because the worst part of the entire story is that the person that took our project, ran it, is what I thought was a partner on my company. So here he goes. So just to explain a little bit how Nordi Brand works, I am in charge of all the part, strategic part of the projects we do for our clients. But when it comes to implementation, like web design, logo design, social media implementation, I don't do it myself. I partner with professionals. They work with me and they are part of my team, and they just join when there is a project that is right for them, and they tell me how much they charge. And that's what I charge to the client. Because I recently relocated to Luxembourg, to fulfill part of the project of mistake number two, I needed someone that speak fluently French for social media. At the start of the conversation with the client, potential client, not client, never become a client, I mentioned to her that I didn't have anyone at the moment to work with for her social media needs. And she said, oh, you know what? I know someone that could be right. And she gave me the name of the person. I met this person. She's definitely not right for social media, if you consider that her knowledge stops at Facebook, and not even professionally, just for herself. But I really enjoy talking with her. And I know she's a freelancer, but sorry for the mistake, for the sound. I know she's a freelancer, and I know she needed jobs, but I also knew she was very strong on market research. We talk and talk. We stayed like what was supposed to be a half an hour meeting, turned up in 2 hour meetings. I really wanted to understand how she could benefit Nordi Brand, and I found a way to work together. And so I said to her, look, you're brilliant. I think your background in market research is fantastic. It's something I definitely need. Will free up a lot of my time if you could work together. Or when I have a project where I have to do market research, instead of me doing it, you can do it. We can take more projects at the same time. I was so excited. I was so excited that I told her everything about the client that I wanted to. Initially, I contacted her for social media. I told her how I met her. I told her what I was planning to do, how I was going to plan it to do, because I was convinced that we were going to be partners. I was convinced about that. She said she loved work with me. She's a woman. She understands. She is a freelancer. I thought, you know, she said she believed in my project as a social enterprise to help women. So I completely lost any sense of business. And I told her everything. I should have listened. The mistake here is that not only I wanted to believe that I found the right partner, but I didn't listen. All the signs were there. She did say that even if she doesn't know how to do social media, she will learn. She did say that although she's never done digital marketing, she did create a website, and she showed it to me, and trust me, it was not worth it watching it, but she believes she can do it. And so she kept on saying, I will do anything for work. I will do anything. What does that mean? It means that she knew the potential client, and it was very easy for her to just reach out and say, hey, I know you need to talk with Julia about this. I can do the same and I can do it cheaper. Now, to be honest, I don't feel bad in the situation in a sense that A, I don't want to work with a client that plays these kind of games. Better to know it now than find out later, because certainly this is the way that she does business anyway. And B, if this person, this partner, was so desperate to do such a thing, well, at least she found a job, I guess. And it's, again, it's good for me to know now. So obviously we're not going to work together in future, but it's okay. I'll find someone else. In fact, and that's the message that I want to give you at the end of this short podcast. In fact, I met someone else in the process, someone that is going to be a partner of mine. And she's going to do all the digital marketing with me for my clients. And that would never have happened if I haven't met the potential client in the first place, if she hadn't pushed me to find a solution. So that's fine. We always have to look at the positive. I think that's very important. Mistakes happen. Setbacks, challenges, that you're a social entrepreneur or you're just a normal entrepreneur, they're always going to be there. But I hope that thanks to what I've learned today, I'm at least helping some of you not to make the same mistakes. And I keep on having a very positive outlook. I've learned something. Okay. And, you know, they say that imitation is the best form of flattery. If they took taken my program and they want to run it, well, it means that what I offer to my clients is actually good. And as Kat says, again, please listen to her podcast, I probably just targeted the wrong client, okay? But there are gonna be people that they see the real value of what I can bring, and they are gonna be willing to pay, knowing that what I put in the work is of a certain quality, and knowing that the money they give, the profit is gonna be invested to help other women, and that is the magic of it. So we as social entrepreneur, we have a goal, okay? We have a purpose, and that is what makes us push forward. Even when in days like today, you feel like, really, really? Why people do that to me? Actually, it's fine. And if we keep on going, if we don't give up, that's when we're gonna change the world. And I always say it, absolutely 100% believe that I'm going to change the world for the better. One woman at a time, one client less at a time. Well, these kind of clients I don't want anymore. But so remember, always get your down payment before starting a project. Even if that is my suggestion, get a down payment. Maybe even a 10%, just a very small amount, but that will make the clients, as I said, more committed, and at least you don't lose everything if they decide not to pay. Second, be smart, street smart when you make your proposal to clients. Don't give away too much. And third, listen. Just because you want something to be good, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily good. So I always say to my students at university, active listening is very important. Well, this time it was me that didn't listen. The signs were there. The person was pretty much telling me, I'm going to steal this job from you. I was just not listening. So find partners. I think partnering with people is the best way forward. It's way more interesting. And I firmly believe that everybody should place their own strength. And so implementation of marketing, I think, I would be fantastic to have, I'm very happy that I found someone who's gonna do it, because that's their strength. I can do the strategy, which is my strength. But hopefully my experience will help you avoid these three mistakes. And stop.